Trump Talk, Deadly Storm. I'm Barbara Cusack. Donald Trump will be front and center during tonight's presidential debate with Hillary Clinton. It comes in the wake of that startling 2005 tape of Trump's lewd comments about women that's even made for changes in the Sunday news program lineup.
When his campaign manager Kellyanne Conway and Republican Party Chairman Reince Priebus opted out somewhat at the last minute, former New York City Mayor Rudolph Giuliani stepped up. He's expected on several Sunday shows to say Donald Trump is not about to quit.
There is nothing that is going to cause his dropping out. That's a wishful thinking of the Clinton campaign and those people who have opposed him for a long time.
Bob Costantini, St. Louis.
At least 10 deaths blamed on Hurricane Matthew, three of those in North Carolina, where the storm has dumped more than a foot of rain. Downgraded now to a post-tropical cyclone, it's flooded homes and businesses as far as 100 miles inland. I'm Barbara Cusack. We're getting a clearer picture now of the devastation caused by Hurricane Matthew in Haiti. The latest from correspondent Pat Piper.
Haitians are beginning to mourn their dead in the area hardest hit by Hurricane Matthew. Authorities now warn of a looming humanitarian crisis in the southern region. That's where more than 500 people were killed during the storm. More than 60,000 homes were destroyed. There is growing threat from cholera and other diseases.
A man was taken into custody early this morning in Palm Springs, California, who authorities say fatally shot two officers and wounded a third. Today marks 10 years to the date that North Korea carried out its first nuclear test, October 9th of 2006. There are new reports that are indicating Pyongyang may be on the brink of another nuclear test or long-range rocket launch that coincides with Monday's anniversary, the founding of North Korea's ruling Workers' Party. I'm Barbara Cusack.
It's 6:02 on 105.9 FM and AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL. I'm Beau Chase. D.C. police have arrested a 14-year-old girl for calling in false threats to a local middle school. Police tell us the girl called the administrative office of McKinley Middle School several times on Friday to report that clowns were coming to the school with weapons and advised that the school should be evacuated. An emotional ceremony this morning at the 35th National Fallen Firefighters Memorial Service in Emmitsburg, Maryland.
Thousands expected to pay their respects to more than 100 firefighters who died in the line of duty in 2014 and 15, and for the first time, 9/11 responders.
That have died of not necessarily in a fire or on an emergency scene, but of other reasons, cancer. Being one of those, are being included in the memorial.
Montgomery County Fire's Pete Perringer says adding the names of the fallen to the memorial wall is powerful.
Looking forward to that, paying tribute to those that have paid the ultimate sacrifice.
Heather Curtis on WMAL and WMAL.com.
While Hurricane Matthew isn't having a direct impact around D.C., you may have noticed one indirect impact.
Gas prices should be decreasing this time of year. But any time you have a catastrophic or potentially catastrophic hurricane hitting the East Coast in October, that casts a pall over the market.
AAA spokesman John Townsend says the D.C. Metro average is at $2.23 a gallon for regular. He says there's nothing to sustain that 10-cent jump once Matthew is gone. The Nationals and Dodgers were rained out in Game 2 of the National League Division Series yesterday. They'll try again today at Nationals Park with the first pitch just after 1 p.m. WMAL traffic and weather now from the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center. Checking the roads, police still clearing an accident in Sterling on Virginia 846 northbound between Church Road and Harry Burt Highway. It's been there for a while, but still could be causing delays. Metro's Orange Line is single tracking between Vienna and West Falls Church. Expect delays this weekend and shutdowns due to safe track surge number 9. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast. A 30% chance for rain this morning, gradual clearing later on this afternoon with a high near 63. It's 57 degrees in Hyattsville, 58 in Dumfries, and rain and 58 at Reagan National Airport. I'm Beau Chase on 105.9 FM and AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Getting a great night's sleep is easier and more affordable than you might think. You don't need a new expensive mattress or sleeping pills. You just need to change your sheets. Hi, I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Boll & Branch. We started Boll & Branch nearly 3 years ago to make the world's most comfortable sheets and to make it possible for everyone to afford to sleep better. What makes Boll & Branch sheets different is that they're meticulously crafted from pure 100% organic cotton. And because we only sell online, we've cut out all the expensive retail markups. That's why our sheets cost less than half of what you'd pay in a store. Everyone who tries Boll & Branch sheets loves them. That's how we have thousands of five-star reviews. The New York Times and Wall Street Journal have written about us, and even three U.S. presidents have Boll & Branch sheets. We guarantee you'll love them, too. That's why we let you sleep on our sheets for 30 nights. If you don't, return them and get your money back. Plus, if you go to BollandBranch.com today, we'll give you $50 off your first set of sheets when you use promo code SLEEP. That's $50 off right now at BollandBranch.com, spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. Promo code SLEEP. That's BollandBranch.com. Promo code SLEEP.
Paralyzed Veterans of America, National Service Officers.
We've got an entire generation of men and women who have seen war. They're going to need voices.
Paralyzed Veterans of America represents them.
Changing lives, building futures. That's Paralyzed Veterans of America. To learn more, visit PVA.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The following program is produced and sponsored by Cancer Treatment Centers of America. The information discussed during this program is not medical advice. Be sure to talk to your medical doctor for information and advice relating to your health. Welcome to this week's edition of Health, Hope, and Inspiration with Reverend Percy McCray, Director of Faith-Based Programs at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. I'm Wayne Shepherd. We often talk about living with cancer, but we're going to hear from a person today who is indeed living with cancer.
And I think it's important, Wayne, that we hear those stories, those experiences, because again, we learn and glean so much from those who have actually walked that path.
Yeah. We're going to hear from a guest named Debbie Kaler here today. Percy, you're going to talk with Debbie, and she has a stellar testimony of how God is getting her through this crisis in her life.
The focus of Debbie's testimony, in my opinion, was really learning how to take everything one day at a time, that she reduced the big picture down to small, bite-sized, manageable steps that basically reduced a daily walk and a daily exercise through her process.
We all know someone who's been diagnosed with cancer, perhaps a family member, a loved one, a neighbor. We can all learn from the conversation to come here today.
Well, again, the best teacher are those who have experience, obviously. And so that being said, she is walking the walk on a daily basis and has for many years. And there are just so many wonderful things to glean from her, which actually helps us to establish and understand our spiritual nugget for the day, which is Matthew's Gospel, the 6th chapter, verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And Debbie is going to help us to understand how to reduce the big picture to a smaller, bite-sized, manageable picture.
So that's coming up in just a moment on this week's edition of Health, Hope, and Inspiration. If you'd like more information, we have a website and there are resources available for you there at healthhopeandinspiration.com.
If you or someone you love is fighting cancer, consider Cancer Treatment Centers of America. We treat the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. Our hospitals in Atlanta, Chicago, Philadelphia, Phoenix, and Tulsa take an integrative approach to cancer care. We use conventional medical treatments to attack the disease. Evidence-based therapies like nutrition, naturopathic medicine, and pastoral care to maintain strength and quality of life. Treatments are tailored for each patient's specific needs. Visit healthhopeandinspiration.com to view our cancer-related resources or to contact our oncology information specialists about questions you may have about your treatment options. Working together under one roof, our cancer experts use leading-edge technologies to deliver precision medicine, personalized care, and spiritual support. Learn more at healthhopeandinspiration.com. Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Care that never quits.
Once again, as you listen today, remember, no case is typical. You should not expect to experience these same results. Once again, here's our host, Percy McCray.
Well, with me today is Debbie Kaler as my special guest, and I'm so excited to have her. Debbie is a cancer patient, and I think that it's an important story that we'll be blessed by today. And so, Debbie, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
How did you first initially start your cancer journey? Can you give us a little insight of the very beginning when you first were told that you had cancer?
Well, I was first diagnosed on March 11th, 2009, and I didn't know if I had cancer or not, even up to the day of surgery. My doctor had performed various tests, ultrasounds, x-rays, and the results were still inconclusive.
Okay.
So she told me that we wouldn't find out for sure until she opened me up.
Okay.
So, and at the time of surgery, she had a gynecological oncologist with her, so that if it was cancer, she would perform the hysterectomy, and then he would perform the cancer surgery, which meant he did all the debulking and got out whatever he could see.
Okay.
So I didn't find out till I woke up that I had cancer.
Really?
Yeah.
And so prior to even getting to that place, somehow you suspected that something was going on in your body. Let's talk a little bit about what was happening with you and to you, and how did you actually find out that you had cancer?
Okay. First of all, I have ovarian cancer.
Okay.
Okay, and when I was diagnosed, I was stage 3B. What happened with me, I had a symptom that I knew I didn't think was abnormal. I thought that I was just entering menopause at my age. I was 48, so I didn't think too much of it. But thankfully, I had my yearly checkup scheduled, and after I got done speaking with my doctor, she asked me, is there anything else I wanted to tell her? And I wasn't even going to say anything, but I thought, I've got this issue. It's kind of a pain, and I think I'm going through menopause.
Okay.
So then she sent me for the tests right away, and that's where it all started.
Okay. And I would imagine in that initial shock of hearing that, many things ran through your mind. Many emotions probably ran through your body. How did you process being told that you had cancer? Did you have a good support group or system? How did you process that? What did you do? What was your reaction?
I think I was in shock, but it was truly amazing that God gave me a peace beyond any human comprehension.
Okay.
And the only thing that I was very sad about was the future that I might not have.
Okay.
I wasn't sure how my kids would react. I thought of them if I died, what would they do without me?
Sure.
And also from my perspective that I wouldn't see any grandchildren. I wouldn't see them get married, have grandchildren, graduate from high school even.
Sure.
When I was diagnosed, they were both in high school.
And at what point did you actually sit down and have a conversation with your family or your loved ones?
I never did.
Why?
I never did. My husband did. My husband did it. After I was diagnosed, he went home from the hospital and met with them and explained everything to them. And I never really sat down. When I did try to talk to them, they didn't really want to discuss it.
Really?
Yes. They did not want to discuss it. Mom's going to be okay. That's all I need to know. And my husband's the same way. Whenever I speak to him about things, practical things that I can think of, like, you know, I'm not saying I'm going to die tomorrow because none of us know when we're going to go.
Sure.
Be hit by a bus walking out the front door.
That's absolutely true.
But just in case, the little password book is next to the computer.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Like things like that that I'll think of. He's like, you're not going anywhere.
Okay.
So I think it's hard for them to think otherwise.
So we fast forward. Has those types of conversations been a little bit easier to say, to have with your husband or with your family?
Yes.
I would imagine at some point there's been a little more conversation now that you've had with your family. Let's talk about that a little bit.
I had my original surgery March, and then the following year I had a really major surgery. My mom and dad and my husband all went with me.
Okay.
And I'm glad that they did, because it's a good thing to have people with you, too. That's another thing I thought I'd throw out there, because when you're told something, it's hard to think about it. Your mind's just not processing things correctly.
Sure.
So what my parents heard was that if I didn't have the surgery, I would only have 3 months to live.
Okay.
And so we didn't talk about that part of it with our kids.
Okay.
We just talked about having the surgery. That's what we were doing. And it's almost when you talk about surgery now, it's almost like just going in to have a broken leg repaired.
Okay.
That's how it is with us. I'm not scared of surgery. It doesn't scare me to go have surgery. Sometimes it's a little vacation and I get to get pampered for a week. But I think the fact that I'm not afraid helps as well.
Okay.
Helps them.
Would that have anything to do with, again, you've referenced your faith mm-hmm. or trust in God. Let's talk about that a little bit. I assume that you have a deep abiding spiritual orientation.
Yes.
And that is as part of the bedrock of how you
yes.
cope.
Yes.
And you've processed being a cancer patient. Let's talk about how does that work for you? Is that prayer? Is that meditation? Is it possibly church attendance? What's the spiritual ammunition that allows you to view surgery as a little pampering yeah. getaway weekend, as you would say?
Well, first of all, that in itself is a miracle. So I know that comes from God, because there's no other way I could explain having such peace about it.
Sure.
So I pray. I read the scriptures.
Okay.
My devotions are really helpful.
Uh-huh.
They're right on target.
Okay.
And I belong to a wonderful church
okay.
who's my pastor before my surgery brought me up to the pulpit and the whole church prayed for me.
Okay.
And they provide meals and anything I need. They're so supportive. So that was a blessing to both me and my family. You know, they took a lot of the burden off.
So being able to have that type of support outside of your clinical experience was very valuable to you and your family.
Yes.
Let's talk about what type of spiritual support did you receive inside of the clinical environment that you experienced your treatment and your care. How did that empower you, and why, and was that important for you?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I did have a friend who was a pastor at one of the facilities I was treated in, and he would come pray for me every time I was there. It was just so uplifting and just makes you feel better while you're sitting in the chemo chair getting ready to have your medicine given to you, that you're all prayed up and
sure.
you just feel like God's going to give me that strength that I need to endure that.
And so with that being said, you're 7 years into mm-hmm. a process of treatment of cancer. Theoretically, you know, from a healthcare perspective, you haven't been cleared of your cancer per se.
Right.
What is the one big thing that you'd like to share with the audience today, being a cancer patient, to encourage someone who's listening right now, who may be in your shoes, who may have endured a lengthy process of treatment? What would you like to say to them today?
I would say, first of all, God is there for you. He is walking through this with you every step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I found was, don't go on the internet for any kind of medical information, because it's not a happy place to be.
Okay.
You know, it's could be intimidating, and if you're not looking for it, then I think you'll have a better time moving forward with your treatment, and know that there's always second opinions. If you don't agree with what the doctor says, you can get a second opinion. I've had two second opinions
okay.
during my treatment.
So you empowered yourself. You took charge of your pathway of health and wellness and empowered yourself with, again, second opinions and good information that you received
mm-hmm.
as you moved forward.
Right.
As you move forward now, what is your expectation or thoughts toward the future? What keeps you moving forward? What's motivating you right now?
Well, definitely my new motto is one day at a time.
Okay.
That's my motto. And my scripture is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
That's a good scripture.
And when I start, maybe my mind starts wandering into that place I don't want to go, all I say is Jesus. And that's enough to get me back on track.
Okay.
I'm living with cancer.
Absolutely.
And the way I look at it is that I'm being treated for a disease just like somebody that has diabetes would be, or somebody with a heart problem
yes.
would be.
Yes.
Mine just happens to be cancer. Every day there's new options that come out,
okay.
and you know, you may be on a certain medication for a while and
mm-hmm.
it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I've had that happen, and there's always something else coming down the line that you can try. So, you know, you don't want to give up hope, because, you know, there's always something there. And I just move forward, and the way I look at before when I would worry, am I going to see my kids graduate, et cetera, now I look at it like each new milestone is a gift. It's a gift, and I'm so grateful to be able to see that, and I look forward to the next one.
Yes.
I don't say, what if I'm not here to see it? I look forward to being there to see it.
Well, this is what I can tell you, Debbie. You're a gift. And I appreciate you sharing your journey and your story and helping so many today with understanding and believing that cancer is something that one can live with,
right,
and not necessarily something that one, at least at this moment, has,
right,
to die with.
Right.
Today, we commend you and we tell you to continue to keep living one day at a time.
Thank you. God bless you.
And thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It's been a privilege.
Well, we learned a lot from our guest today, haven't we? We'll continue talking about it with Reverend Percy McCray coming up yet on the rest of today's program, Health, Hope, and Inspiration, found online at healthhopeandinspiration.com.
If you or someone you love is fighting cancer, consider Cancer Treatment Centers of America. We treat the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. Our hospitals in Atlanta, Chicago, Philadelphia, Phoenix, and Tulsa take an integrative approach to cancer care. We use conventional medical treatments to attack the disease. Evidence-based therapies like nutrition, naturopathic medicine, and pastoral care to maintain strength and quality of life. Treatments are tailored for each patient's specific needs. Visit healthhopeandinspiration.com to view our cancer-related resources or to contact our oncology information specialists about questions you may have about your treatment options. Working together under one roof, our cancer experts use leading-edge technologies to deliver precision medicine, personalized care, and spiritual support. Learn more at healthhopeandinspiration.com. Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Care that never quits.
Keep in mind that at Cancer Treatment Centers of America, spiritual support is provided only when and if desired by the patient. I'm Wayne Shepherd with Reverend Percy McCray. We always like to debrief the conversations we have with our guests because we learn so much from them, don't we?
We do. Of course, the focus of the show is with the title, Health, Hope, and Inspiration. We want to encourage, we want to inspire, and on some levels, educate people around the way one has and can potentially respond to a diagnosis and treatment and how to support individuals who are in that scenario. And Debbie really gave us some unique perspectives. I'd like to say mental shifts in how she approached having cancer and how she approached her treatment of cancer.
Yeah, one of those transitions had to do with how she thought about the future. First, she was lamenting the fact that she may not have a future if cancer were to take her life eventually, and she may not see grandchildren, for instance.
And then with that, the amazing pivot that she made was that then she learned how to say that I'm not going to be sad about the future that I might not have. If you listen to the language of that, she wasn't sure if she wasn't going to have a future. So she made a decision that she wasn't going to be sad about the possible future that she may not have,
mm-hmm,
but began to focus on what she did have, what was sitting in front of her.
And you see that
moment
as healthy.
I think it's very healthy because it helps to, again, take a big picture that potentially says, well, this can happen or that can happen, and reduce it down to something much more manageable of what is happening at the moment.
She was not denying what could happen.
That is correct. She wasn't in denial, but she chose to focus on that which was sitting in front of her presently. What do I have now? What can I focus in on today? What's in front of me that I have some sense of control over right here and right now? And that shifted her focus, and it tied right back into our scripture that we read earlier, and we'll get back to it in just a little bit around, do we fret over tomorrow, or mm-hmm, do we appreciate today?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's what she chose to do. And we want to be clear, Wayne, this is a unique situation with a unique patient. This process may not work for everyone or
right,
anyone else.
Good point.
But that is what she chose to do. And that was how she empowered herself to cope with her circumstances.
When Debbie told you that she didn't initially talk with her family about this, her husband had to talk with the kids. Did that surprise you in any way?
Well, it's surprising to hear, but it's not surprising to understand. Because what happens with cancer, with patients, and how they begin to process that is, should I say something to someone? How much information should I give someone? When do I give information? How are they going to react?
From what I have learned, there's a myriad of questions that they're just not sure of what is going to take place. So in many cases, not all cases, some cancer patients simply choose not to have initial conversations with their family members because of uncertainty, fear, reluctance, or what have you. And that's part of the humanity, the humane dynamic of what's going on. They're just not sure. So then they'll take the path of, well, maybe I won't say anything until I have to say something.
Yeah. And once you start talking about it, I mean, I've not been there, but I would imagine that once you start talking about it, it becomes the topic and it takes over your life, and you want life to go on to a certain degree of normalcy, don't you?
And what I have heard from many cancer patients is that you're exactly right. What happens is that then everyone starts treating them like a cancer patient,
right?
Which all that does is just enumerate and make the cancer reality bigger than they want it to be and than they need it to be, and they don't want it to dominate their life, dominate their world, and dominate their environment. They're trying to decrease that affect so that they can have some semblance of order, of life, and not have that completely dominate their world.
But Debbie went on to say that it is easier now. After some time has gone by, she's learned how to deal with this and how to approach this, and I think that was very helpful.
Well, the transition that she made in this particular case, again, everyone's situation is unique, everyone's response is different, is that she empowered her husband to basically have some initial conversation with her other family members. So that's how she approached that. She, at that moment, did not find the ability or the wherewithal to have that discussion, but then she had a discussion with her husband, and then she allowed her husband to disclose that information to key family members. So I think the key takeaway from this is be comfortable with what you think works best for you and your unique situation and your family.
Everybody's different.
Everybody's different. Everyone's unique. This is not a cookie-cutter process at all.
I had to smile when she said that surgery for her was kind of like looking forward to being pampered.
I think it speaks to this conscious mental shift that she made. One of the things that is written about and dialogued about cancer patients is how do they cope? What type of coping skills? And as you well know, and I know, people have very different coping mechanisms. Some people eat. Some people become excessive workers. Some people have hobbies. They figure out a way to cope with whatever they're dealing with. In her particular case, she reformatted what her experience was, and she likened it akin to a weekend pampering session, a vacation, which allowed her to work through that process.
It's a mental mindset, isn't it?
It is. And I think that we sometimes underestimate how powerful our minds are and how much we have the ability on some level to utilize our mind, that we can cope in a more productive manner if we choose to do so. And that's exactly what she did. She reformatted the picturing of that as being a weekend getaway vacation, being pampered. I thought it was very powerful.
All right. In the moment we have left, just anchor us back in that scripture passage.
Absolutely. Because, again, what we heard today was a person who took the big picture and reduced it down to a small, bite-sized, manageable scenario. And our scripture found in Matthew 6, chapter verse 34, the spiritual nugget for the day is, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Debbie managed and coped in a way that she took this big picture, what's going to happen to me tomorrow, next week, next month, and reduced it down to, let me deal with what I can manage and handle and cope with today. God bless her.
Perhaps you joined us in the middle of this conversation today or middle of the interview with Debbie and you'd like to hear the whole thing. It is available on our website, healthhopeandinspiration.com. Other resources available there as well. It's available to you, of course, free of charge, healthhopeandinspiration.com. I'm Wayne Shepherd with Reverend Percy McCray. And Percy, our time is up, but we'll be back next week at the same time.
All right. See you then. Take care. God bless.
And thank you for listening. Thanks for tuning in to Health, Hope, and Inspiration. Health, Hope, and Inspiration is produced and sponsored by Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
If you or someone you love is fighting cancer, consider Cancer Treatment Centers of America. We treat the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. Our hospitals in Atlanta, Chicago, Philadelphia, Phoenix, and Tulsa take an integrative approach to cancer care. We use conventional medical treatments to attack the disease. Evidence-based therapies like nutrition, naturopathic medicine, and pastoral care to maintain strength and quality of life. treatments are tailored for each patient's specific needs. Visit healthhopeandinspiration.com to view our cancer-related resources or to contact our oncology information specialists about questions you may have about your treatment options. Working together under one roof, our cancer experts use leading-edge technologies to deliver precision medicine, personalized care, and spiritual support. Learn more at healthhopeandinspiration.com. Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Care that never quits.